course, these names are good. If you're going to give initiation, then you can write down all these names, and you have a lot of names to choose from. Other than that, I think most of us, after hearing all these names, we don't have any recognition of who they are. What to speak of their forms, their qualities, and their pastimes. Therefore, whoever these devotees may be, we offer them a respect, but probably not very intimately. But I'll just keep on reading, because the general aim is that Shukadeva Goswami, who was speaking to Pariksit Maharaj, and Pariksit Maharaj had 7 days to live. And if he would have gone into any detail about these names, Pariksit Maharaj would have been far gone before he got up to the 10th canto. Therefore, since he had to go from Treta Yuga, when Lord Ramachandra was existing, all the way to Dwarpa Yuga, which is approximately 600,000 or 700,000 years, Shukadeva Goswami had to take a few shortcuts. So he just went through the dynasties to more or less show that Krishna didn't appear out of nothing. He appeared out of a line of devotees or personalities who within his dynasty. So let's go through the dynasty. Shukadeva Goswami said, the son of Ramachandra was Kusha. The son of Kusha was Atiti. The son of Atiti was Nishada. And the son of Nishada was Nava. The son of Nava was Pundarika. And from Pundarika came a son named Shemadanva. Shemadanva. The son of Shemadanva was Devanika. The son of Devanika's son was Antiha. I don't know of any devotees named these. Know anyone's, any devotee named Aniha? Or Devanika? Now, if you get a few thousand disciples, this may come in handy. And the son was Pariyatra. And Pariyatra's son was Balastala. The son of Balastala was Rajanava, who is said to have been born from the effulgence of the sun god. We'd like to see a picture of him. Must be pretty effulgent. The son of Rajanava was Sagana, and his son was Vidriti. The son of Vidriti was Haranyanava, who became the disciple of Jaimini and a great acharya of mystic yoga. It is from Haranyanava that the great saint Yajnavalkya learned the highly elevated system of mystic yoga known as Adhyatma Yoga, which can loosen the knots of material attachment in the heart. The son of Haranyanava was Pushpa. The son of Pushpa was Dhruvasandhi. The son of Dhruvasandhi was Sudarshana, whose son was Agnivarna. The son of Agnivarna was named Shrigra, and his son was Maru. Text 6. We'll read something. At least we have some purport here. Text 6. So savaste yoga siddha kalapa gramam astita kalir ante suravam sam nashtam bhava ita punaha. Sa hi. Asao, the personality known as Maru. Aste, still existing. Yoga Siddha, perfection in the power of mystic yoga. Kalapa Gramam. The place known as Kalapa Gramam. Astita. He is still living there. Kale. In this Kali Yuga. Ante. At the end. Surya Vangsam. The descendants of the sun god. Nashtam. After being lost. Bhavaita. Maru will begin by beginning a son. Punaha, again. Having achieved perfection in the power of mystic yoga, Maru still lives in a place known as Kalapa Grama. At the end of Kali Yuga, he will revive the lost Surya dynasty by beginning a son. Well, that's pretty good. He's going to have a son when he's 432,000 years old. Life begins at 400,000 years. At least 5,000 years ago, Srila Sukadeva Goswami ascertained the existence of Maru in the Kalapa Grama, and it said that Maru, having achieved a yoga siddha body, would continue to exist until the end of Kali Yuga, which is calculated to continue for 432,000 years. Such is the perfection of mystic yoga, mystic power. By controlling the breath, the perfect yogi can continue his life for as long as he likes. Sometimes we hear from the Vedic literature that some personalities from the Vedic age, such as Vyasadeva and Ashvatthama, are still living. Here we understand that Maru is also still living. We are sometimes surprised that a mortal body can live for such a long time. The explanation of this longevity is given here by the word yoga siddha. If one becomes perfect in the practice of yoga, he can live as long as he likes. The demonstration of some trifling yoga siddha does not constitute perfection. Here is a factual example of perfection. A yoga siddha can live as long as he likes. Nigama kaputra galitam palam sukamukam drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam amalam mahura mahu bhava bhavikaha. That this Vedic literature is like a desire tree and then give one whatever one wants. Now in the material world, people want a lot of things. And therefore, everyone wants, but then Prabhupada used to say, first deserve and then desire. We may want so many things, but unless we're serious about getting them, it just remains a thought. We have thinking, we have feeling, and then we have willing. So we also have to do things with this gross body, not only mentally. On the other hand, the activities that we have with our gross body should correspond to our desire in order to fulfill that desire. If we have a desire, but we do something different. If I want to become a lawyer, but I work in a bakery, it's going to be a very long time before I become a lawyer after working in a bakery. Generally, one has to go to law school. And then one has to go through the austerity of learning law, passing the tests, etc., and paying for the money, whatever it costs, then one may get a law degree. Similarly, we want mystic power. There is a process of getting it. And generally speaking, it's not just by book knowledge. One has to find out someone who's gone through the process, because when in conditioned life, when we read something, we read it according to our conditioned nature. That's our understanding of what we read. The inner knowledge of what we're reading is only revealed usually by someone who's actually can explain it to us because they've gone through it themselves and they understood what it actually means. And therefore, they can explain it to us so that we can understand what it means, so we could put it into practice. And when we put it into practice and we become purified, then we come to the next stage of something else that we don't understand. And therefore, we have to go to someone else who understands that higher knowledge that we've come to become qualified to try to understand from someone who's qualified to explain it to us. Now, the previous person who explained to us whatever level we've come to may not understand either. They can only bring us up to the level that we're on. Similarly, if we want mystic power, of course, Prabhupada used to say that all living entities, they already have mystic power. But this mystic power, which is an important mystic power, is living for... Here it says 432,000, but we can add another 5,000. Well, actually, Kali Yuga is only 432,000 years long. But even that amount is not extraordinary. If we accept that Brahma lives for 311 trillion, which is a lot of years, 311 trillion, and you add an extra 40 billion, just in case you're afraid of death. So that power, that ability to stay in a body means that one has to qualify oneself by focusing the mind, because after all, it's our desires that determine what our situation is. And our desires, thinking, have three levels: thinking, feeling, willing. So if we let our desires come to the level of feeling, either for good or bad, then we just wind up willing. And that by that willing, that will lead to more thinking. For instance, if we come to the temple and see the pictures of the deities or the deities here, then we'll probably think about Krishna. Now, how we feel about looking at Krishna depends upon our understanding. If we look at Krishna and we think, you know, he might be a good musician, or why is he with all these ladies, or whatever we may think. Or he's not such a bad person because he has a lot of flowers, whatever we may feel. So we develop a certain attitude. And then, of course, if we actually feel something for Krishna, we see it, feel something positive, and someone says, chant Hare Krishna, or they say, well, would you like to come to the kitchen and wash some dishes? We might be inclined to do something. And by doing something, then we show that we're actually taking it seriously. And then our thoughts may be, when we're washing the dishes, we may remember the pictures of Krishna or whatever. And we become Krishna conscious. And then we feel a little bit more deeply. And then we become a little bit more willing, hopefully, to perform devotional service. And that way, gradually, the idea is to focus the mind upon Krishna, thinking, and give one's love to Krishna by feeling and willing. That's called Krishna consciousness. Now, whatever we want in the material world, if we hear the glories of flying on the sunlight to the sun, then we go to the Himalayas, we look out, we find someone who has done that. Or at least we find a book or manual, how to fly to the sun on the sun rays, which is one of the mystic powers. Now, that's a little bit jump, because most of us are not going to go to the Himalayas. Most of us, where that book is, where it had five easy steps to fly to the sun on the moon, on the sunlight, there's probably more than five easy steps. There are many steps, and most of them probably aren't easy. Most of them will probably entail like fasting for a month or two, not drinking water, controlling the respiration, sitting in meditation, watching the sun, etc., etc. And then one has to learn how to do it in the proper consciousness, with faith. After all, if you're sitting there on a kusha grass covered with deer skin for 3 months fasting, you must have a little faith. Especially when someone comes by with some donuts or pizza or whatever. You sit there fasting, watching the sun. You really have to have faith it's going to work. And if you don't have faith, Vishwamrita Muni was sitting in meditation for 60,000 years. So how many of us have such patience? We're going to sit anywhere for 60,000 years. And then hearing the ankle bells of Menaka, just hearing the ankle bells was enough to distract him from his meditation. What does it take to distract us? Because Menaka's ankle bells are probably quite sweet in sound because she's an apsara. So they spend a lot of time on the heavenly planets learning how to play their ankle bells. In any case, we get distracted by even less than ankle bells sometimes. Therefore, to try to attain any kind of mystic power, we don't have the books to tell us how to do it. We don't have the scriptures, nor do we have anyone who knows the scriptures who can verbally tell us what to do or where we're at now, that many lifetimes ago they were in the same position we're in. And therefore they tell, well, first you do this, and then you do that, and then you do this other thing, and then eventually this is your symptoms when you do this and that, and then check with me later, and then I'll give you the next step. We don't have any guides like that. Therefore, most of us don't take mystic power so seriously, although we were told that in Germany they went to India trying to find out how to make vimanas. And they were serious because they wanted to win the war, whatever. And therefore, they actually be able to make V2 rockets, whatever, based upon the instructions. And maybe other things, too. But most of us are not interested in those things. First of all, we're not going to live that long. It would make any difference. Number two, the information is not available. Number three, the persons who have experienced these things can't tell us how to do it, because there are no people who experience these things that we know of that are available in Slovenia, at least. And even if you hear that there's someone in the Himalayas who knows how to create some mystic power, then who's going to spend the money to go to the Himalayas? Besides that, it's probably cold up there, and you bring your winter coat. And he tells you the first thing you do is have to take off your winter coat. You say, I think I got to go back. I forgot something. And you disappear. But we have to, even though we may not have so much experience with mystic power, unless you do things like Reiki or something, which has a little insight. Or, even more important, mystic power, mystic experience, is chanting Hare Krishna. Now, 99, a large percentage of the people in this world, they don't believe in the chanting Hare Krishna. Now, what could be more mystical than some words, you keep on repeating them, and they become nicer and nicer and nicer. There must be something mystical about it. It's like imagining you had a flower, and you smelled it, and every time you smelled it, it became nicer and nicer and nicer. How much would that flower cost? If you went to the florist, and they were selling flowers, and they sold a rose, and every time you smelled the rose, it became more and more sweet, then how much would that rose cost? And the rose never wilted. What's that? Yes, you'd be priceless. So if you have a word, and every time you chant it, it gets nicer, how much is that sound vibration worth? Because we take too many things for granted, and therefore we don't value the wonderful nature of the holy name, is that all of us are here because we've been chanting the holy name. And it's still new. It's not like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse, or whatever. In English, they have Mary Had a Little Lamb. Or even if you find some other name like the Beatles, sometimes people, or the Rolling Stones, maybe that's. So how you take your japa beads and chant Rolling Stones, Mickey Mouse, or whatever. How long can you do it for? Is anyone going to come and have a kirtan, Rolling Stones? After a short period of time, he couldn't do it anymore. But it must be mystical that we're chanting Hare Krishna. As people say, there must be brainwashed. Prabhupada said, yes, it's very amazing. Anyone could be brainwashed because people nowadays don't have any brain to wash. Their brains, Prabhupada said, are made out of cow dung. The more you wash it, it still stays dirty. But even we say our brains are being brainwashed. Well, that's good, Rosa. What's wrong? If your brain is dirty, it should be washed. What's wrong with brainwashing? But people think, oh, they're brainwashed. And the end result is all they do is everything. Every time you ask them something, they just say, Hare Krishna. What time is it? Hare Krishna. What time does the train leave? Hare Krishna. Or as I said, Vraja Vihari went to one of the Puri Maharajas when he was over 100 years old. And Vraja Vihari Prabhu said to the Puri Maharaj, he said, it's Puri Maharaj. And Puri Maharaj said, who are you? He said, I'm Vraja Vihari. And Puri Maharaj said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm over 100 years old. I forgot everything. All I remember is Hare Krishna. All I remember is Krishna. That's all I can remember. So that's perfection. You're doing quite well. Forget everything else except for Krishna. So that mystic power, that's what we're trying to derive. There's mystic power of living for 432,000 years. Still one will be in anxiety. Every time there's a birthday, I still only have 431,000 years left. Time went really quick. Maybe I should do some more exercise. No, even 432,000 years compared to eternity is absolutely nothing. Even 311 trillion, 40 billion years is nothing compared to eternity. Or as Kamsa's friends said, Brahma, he's in anxiety that he's going to die, so he's always sitting in the forest meditating. Because now Brahma, he's 50 years old, which means 150 trillion years of his life has already passed. So he realizes how quick time goes. Therefore, the mystic power of becoming Krishna conscious, living forever, is quite a more important mystic power. And even if we become Krishna conscious, then we automatically, all the other mystic powers are there, because all mystic powers come from Krishna. It's not that the soul ever develops mystic power outside of Krishna, because the soul, when it becomes Krishna conscious, then he's always with Krishna. And we're also always with Krishna. Everything we have is depending upon Krishna. We don't exist outside of Krishna. So even in conditioned life, whatever we have is all dependent upon Krishna. And then even when we become liberated, then, of course, when we're liberated, we completely attached to Krishna, and everything we desire is to please Krishna, and therefore Krishna is willing to give us anything, including all mystic power. In the 11th canto, it says that all mystic powers are derived from focusing the mind upon Krishna. So if one is actually Krishna conscious, then he gets all mystic power. I was reading the Conversations book, interviews with Prabhupada's disciples and devotees, and Prabhupada said in one place, he said, I was thinking about how the yogis ride sunlight to the sun planet, and I was thinking of doing that, just to see how it works. He didn't say anything more than that. I remember one time we went to greet Prabhupada at the airport, and when Prabhupada came for an interview, that they asked Prabhupada how he came. So Prabhupada said, "There's three ways of coming. One is you can by mystic power. The other is you can take. You can. He said you can get a whole lot of pigeons together, strap them together, and you can then you can ride on a pigeon cart." And he said, the third way is by yantra, by these machines. So they asked Prabhupada, how did you come here today? He said, well, I came by yantra, by machine. He said, just be one with you. Now, it would be quite interesting to see, find out how many pigeons you have to strap together. Prabhupada didn't get into that. But he indicated that there are many things what we just don't know about. As a matter of fact, there's very little we actually know about. But there's a lot of things we doubt when we hear it because we think we know a lot when we don't know very much. We don't even know we're not this body. What to speak of how this material universe, how the sun is moving throughout the universe. We find it hard sometimes to go from here outside the door. Yet the sun is still moving quite well. We wonder if we're going to wake up for Mangal Arati tomorrow. But the sun has no problem like that. The sun always gets up for Mangal Arati. So how it's all going on, that we don't know. But we don't really have to find out all those details. All we do is have to find out how to become Krishna conscious, and everything else will be revealed to us. And even if we become Krishna conscious, this idea of living for 2,000 years won't be very so much attractive, because we're going to live forever. And simply all this mystic power manipulating the material energy won't seem very important, because after all, it's just Krishna's energy. And we're not manipulating, it's Krishna's manipulating it. And why should we care how the material nature looks today like this, and tomorrow it looks something different? Why do we care if we actually fall in love with Krishna? It won't make any difference to us. Except that one will be interested in utilizing the energy to expand the Krishna consciousness movement to please Krishna, that's all. But we can see that when Prabhupada was asked, can you show us mystic power? Some people were challenging him. Then Prabhupada pointed to his disciples in the audience and said, this is my mystic power. He said, I've turned these Malechas and Yavanas into Vaishnavas. He said, that's my mystic power into devotees. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, that before they were morose hippies, and now they're become happies, and they're dancing like, they have shaven heads and tilak, and they're dancing like jubilant peacocks. So that's mystic power. And we all can have that mystic power to change people and ourselves from hippies to happies. If we try to follow the formula given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his disciples' succession, we can develop that mystic power, the same mystic power that Prabhupada said that he possessed. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
You mentioned that we can go to the sun, but what would be the purpose of going to the sun?
Keep warm. Save on somebody. We don't have to worry about heating bills. Even though there's a gas shortage or the energy is electricity is expensive, you don't have to worry about that. Besides that, you can get a nice suntan when you go there. And if you like hot food, the food is always warm there, hot. So there's many advantages going to the sun. Any other questions? Is something in the internet? No, okay. Thank you, Khala. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.